If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's.
I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
I overslept. Damn rooster didn't crow.
It's time for Early Break, sponsored by Midwest Bank. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so Bill, I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Tuesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2, as always, sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member
FDIC.
Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And what does Shin Daddy have going on today in Creighton, Bill?
It's just a service to all of Knox County and the area up there. It's Tuxedo Tuesday.
No way.
Tuxedo
like
Tuesday.
That.
So now they have turned a small portion of the lobby at Midwest Bank into a tuxedo shop. So if you have a formal you have to go to, a prom coming up, any weddings coming up right there, Shin Daddy now is fitting you and has rental tuxedo rentals.
It's right in the lobby.
It's at the east end of the lobby. So he has it set up. Steve will measure you and he'll have your tuxedos ready. And so you're good to go. It's not like back in the day. So if you went back to Governor Pillen's day of prom, there would have been some sweet powder blue tuxedos. There would have been some incredible. It's you don't see that much anymore. You know, it's pretty much the black tuxedo.
I'm not sure we even had tuxedos.
These
back
are tuxedos. So anyway, so it's Tuxedo Tuesday. So Shin Daddy will be fitting you. Yeah, so he'll have that all the way through prom season. All the way through prom. So
does
have
like
that
a full-length mirror in there and everything?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Full-length mirrors, everything you have. Yes. You name it. A lot of times, your wedding parties will come through and get their tuxedos
a
there.
A lot of times.
And then Steve has to go in every Sunday to make sure they can drop the tuxedo back off. That's always a lot of work for him. So Tuxedo Tuesday, they've opened up a new business in Midway. Shin Daddy,
day,
my brother-in-law, Governor Pillen, invented FDIC. He's the
apparently
one who,
so.
We'd be in a shambles right now.
It's open. It's still open.
It's still open, yes.
Still doing great things. Thanks to Midwest Bank for sponsoring Hour 2. 464-5685. Call or text, as always. Governor Jim Pillen with us in studio. You told us this morning, you've already attack the fitness day. You're making us feel bad about your fitness routine.
It's got fit,
well,
Governor.
It's, you know, you got to get the day going, got to get the heart pumping, and yeah, it's a good way to start.
You said you run 4 to 5 miles almost every day, right?
Yeah,
almost every day.
I get it four or five out of seven.
He's kicking our butts, guys.
Yeah, he's way better than us. Yes.
We don't even hold up. We have nothing close to that at all.
No. I do my walk, and I walk 8 miles a day. I do that.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
My feet don't hold up. Your feet are fine, huh?
Yeah, I'm lucky.
It's always kind of my feet deal.
I think I run like a Clydesdale, so I don't break down very bad.
Don't break down like that?
Wait a second. You walk 8 miles a day?
8 miles a day. Yes.
That's awesome.
It's like 22,000 steps is what it takes to get it
that's
in.
That's fitness
like
that, too, Bill. Yes.
That's fitness.
How long is that? A couple hours.
What's that? Yeah, by the time you get it all done. Now, I do count my casual steps. Yeah. If I'm just whatever I'm just doing, whatever, mowing the yard, doing the other stuff, I count that. But at the end of the day, and the number of times where I've gotten to just short and it'll be 9:30 at night and all of a sudden Laura looks out and I'm walking around the driveway.
I do circles in the driveway
to get to my steps, or I walk inside the house. She goes, "Are you getting steps?" I said, "Yes, I'm 1,000 short." So I'll walk back and forth in the kitchen, and my dog Sugar just looks at me. So anyway, it's
the
odd.
Governor's with us.
I'm glad we're discussing this with the governor.
We are. His fitness is important. I'm curious, Governor, because Nebraska goes out to Minnesota last Friday and falls 24-6. Now, you are a former player, of course, a Hall of Famer for Nebraska football. What pains you more when Nebraska loses, being a former Husker or being the governor of the state? What's more painful when they lose?
Yes.
Well, they're both equally painful, no. Right? We love the Huskers. We're all guilty, and we want to see them be successful. I'm really excited because it really feels good to feel pain again for a loss, having a high expectation coming back.
There's some truth to that.
You know, so I'm excited about the direction. Obviously, we're not a top 10 team yet, and we've got to get a stronger mental toughness developed. That takes a little bit of time, but you know, when you look at where we were 3 years ago to where we are today, I'm really, really excited. It was hard. I don't like Minnesota. They see the world a lot differently up in that neck of the woods. And, it just was painful to see the physicality. We just got manhandled, and that was hard. That's not Nebraska football.
That's hard. Have you ever had a game in your career where you played in a game, and you tell us what that was like, and tell us a little bit about that. What it's like that, hey, we did not get it done in this game.
Yeah. We just got whipped physically.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, it's probably it still haunts me. But, you know, after we beat Oklahoma first time for coach in 78, and then 7 days later we played Missouri. Mm-hmm. Missouri had Kellen Winslow and
Wilder.
James Wilder. Yep. And, you know, it took every ounce of everything we had for that Oklahoma win. And 7 days later, we competed, but we just did not have the same gas in our tank, no matter how hard we tried. It was like, you know, we had a title weight fight, and then we had to come back, and we had another one. We had a team giving us everything, their best, and we were given everything we had, but we did not have what we had 7 days earlier. And we were in a win a national championship that year, and that 7 days later, if Oklahoma would have been the last game of the year like it had been, but coming back 7 days after that, a lot of it, you know, we tried like heck, but our tanks were empty.
James Wilder was a big back. Were you diving at his feet?
I could get him down, but I was a knee guy.
Well, you're a knee guy.
I mean, not go at his head. Even though my coach, if you didn't hit the guy in the chin, it did not count as a tackle, no matter you got him down.
Your coach.
Okay, Lance Van Zandt.
Lance Van Zandt.
If you did not hit him in the mouth, it did not count as a tackle, no matter if you tackled him or not. But James Wilder, you crazy? I ain't hitting him in the mouth. I'm taking his knees out.
He was a big bad.
It was a crazy game. I remember I listened to it on the radio because it wasn't on TV. The Oklahoma game was. I don't think the Missouri game was on TV. I listened to the game.
We only had a couple a year on.
Yeah, and it was like a 35-31 game. Yeah. It was an epic game.
Richard Burns went 75 on the first carry of the game.
Rick Burns. Better times.
Yeah, anyway, it happens. And so you got to remember, they're young men. And, coming back on six games, 6 days later, two travel games, all those things add up. I know it doesn't probably make sense to a lot of fans, but trust me, it gets hard. And it's, you know, they've been at it since the last week of July. So, it takes time. And that's probably just shows, you know, we just still need strength. We need bigger people, and we need a little more mental toughness.
Yeah.
Do you watch the secondary more closely than other positions?
I try to see what they're doing and try to understand some of it, and enjoy it. And man, we got a really, really good secondary. it's something that I really find fascinating, because if you turn your foot wrong, right? Yeah. If you read something or you make a read and you turn your foot wrong, it can really create a problem. And that's obviously what's happened when you get a 71-yard break. You got a DB filling a crease. If the crease is 2 foot wider than it should be because somebody else, and then you just turn your foot 1 degree, it's a touchdown. And so the margin for error is slim when you play at this level. And so it really, really takes everybody doing their job exactly the way they're trained. And if one person has a mental breakdown at the wrong place, you give it up.
Darius Taylor's going 71 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
So you fit the crease and you can't make the tackle because you took a step wrong, and it's gone. So it's an incredible game. Game of football is awesome. It takes a full team, and we just got to keep plugging, And I think we're making great progress, but I'll bet the farm that they're going to take it out on Northwestern this week.
The farm's on the line.
Last week, I'm frankly scared right now.
The farm is
I'm from Columbus.
And hey, the farms in Platte County are worth a hell of a lot.
Exactly. That's a lot of money. I drive by there. That's pretty good farmland.
I'm going to start looking at this game a little closer now.
Hillen
has the farm on it.
When I'm driving through,
you might be sitting here next week.
Yeah. When I drive through Bellwood, I'm like going, hey, there's some good looking farmland out here. Now people are wagering that on this game. The last game, Governor,
thank you for noticing our farm.
We called it bass boat game because if you want to get a bass boat, you want to wager on Nebraska because they're going to win easily. And Sip had them winning by 30.
Yeah, 29 in a hook.
Yeah. But it didn't go as well.
No.
Yeah, I'm happy I didn't bet the farm.
Save the farm for this week, the home game.
So go ahead, Jake.
I'm curious. I look around the college football, and I see teams like Indiana, usually a bad team, is second in the country. Vanderbilt is a top 10 team. Georgia Tech's been down for a while. They're seventh in the country. When you see that, are you happy for those teams, or do you say Nebraska should be that? How do you react to that?
Yeah, probably both. You know, I mean, I'll just probably both. The coach at Indiana, I like following, my hobby would be following programs, following coaches, trying to understand, okay, what the heck does this guy, his... I don't like him, you know, but, the guy wins and, there may be some.
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens. From book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIREST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Pages out of his playbook of how he goes about it daily to be able to turn that program around. And you know, it's proof. It's 2 years in a row, and 2 years there. It's just unbelievable.
And they look so the part.
There's no magic. They're just a full football team. Vanderbilt. So yeah, it's really fascinating where programs are coming up, and you know, there's extraordinary parity now. Everybody can pay people. We used to say, well, they're on scholarship too. Well, now they're getting paid too. So it is fascinating. I think it's tremendous for college football. There's just no easy games. That's probably the difference. Back in the day, you know, just the way it is. If we showed up, if we just remembered to button our chin straps, we'd beat K-State by 70.
How many games were there like that? Six, seven?
Probably, back in the day, we'd have two big games in the preseason, Alabama, LSU. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
And then we would, Big Eight back then. Big Eight was obviously Oklahoma, Missouri. Yeah. Kansas and Kansas State were gimmies. Iowa State would be tough. Oklahoma State occasionally would be tough. Yeah. But Colorado, I remember my senior year. I don't know what happened early in the game, but we come off and we're down 14-0.
Okay.
We were down 14-0 in Boulder.
Yeah. In Boulder.
In Boulder. We were down 14-0, and we come off in the sign, and Coach McBride was a little uptight, and he had a little spit flying and stuff, and we just kind of laughed and said, "Hey, Coach, relax. We're going to kill these guys." And we won 54-14. So there was confidence, but then again, those games weren't like every, you look at the Husker schedule, we can win out or we could lose out.
Sure.
I mean, there's no gimme games. These games are, college football's phenomenal.
Oh, you turn the TV on.
Because anybody can beat anybody, right?
Pretty much right now.
Yeah, right now. The Vanderbilt hadn't been favored in an SEC game since in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's been 50 years in the SEC. They weren't favored in a game, and now they're 10th in the country. But when you turn the TV on last Saturday, you couldn't keep up with the great games that were going on. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is incredible. So it was, NIL and all this stuff and portals jacking everything up. Then you turn the TV on, and it's really good football.
You know what the commonality is with Indiana and Vandy? They both are doing it up front. They're both emphasizing the lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, well, they're physical, right?
Right, really physical.
Physical football. Whoever gets that figured out is going to always be in the game. Hey, you need all the other stuff, but if you can't win the lines of scrimmage, that's how football's won.
Mass kicks ass.
God,
yes, it does.
100%.
Now, the other thing that's going to be interesting. What's your thoughts on this, Governor Pillen, with the teams you having a lot of success when these people are going to hire new coaches now? So new coach is going to come in. If you watch Vanderbilt, they brought a New Mexico State team. They brought the quarterback and they brought the coordinator. Oklahoma brought a quarterback and a coordinator with them. Indiana brought like 16 players from JMU, which turned around their program, which helped them. Their receiver right now, that's Surratt, he's from JMU. He came with Cignetti. Do you think that's going to be a trend where people will start looking at, hey, when we go to hire someone new at Florida, who can come and who can they bring with them?
Who's got some success? And who has some players? I'm sure there's a lot of calculus. I will say this. I just think it's a tragedy that we are firing coaches 3 and 5 and 7 games in a season. Holy cow. Play the year out. Do it at the end of the year like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have changes, but gosh, doing it in the middle of the season everywhere and creating all that chaos, I don't like
it. It's a lot.
Are you thinking about the players when you're saying this?
Yeah.
I mean, think when you were a player, if you would have lost Van Zandt 5 games in.
Well, I wouldn't have wanted to lose Coach Osborne ever and the point is the bottom line, Coach one time at halftime told Lance, "I'm calling the plays second half."
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he called a goal line out on the 40-yard line and against Iowa State, 3rd and 10 goal line out, and they checked to a draw and they ran 40 yards straight up the field for a touchdown because there was
no
one there.
And what happened then? Osborne said, "I'm calling defense?"
He called defense second half.
Ooh. Okay, now that's
story. It's a rough day at the office for Ben.
That one on Sunday.
I mean, forever, and Coach one time, he and I were talking about capitalism and difficulty and challenges. So, but Jimmy, college football, he goes, no matter how much I liked you, if you didn't get the job done, I had to fire you in front of 76,000 people. And, that's what's so awesome about football. But the point is, when you put a leader in charge of a program and you fire him 3 weeks after he's number two in the country, that just doesn't add up. It just does not add up. And that's the part where you sit and look at kids and, just think if you're on that Penn State team And think of what kind of expectations you had. You were in college football, a play away from being a national title game. And then the next year, 3 weeks after losing a double overtime game with one play, and then you're not recovering, and all of a sudden the guy that brought everybody here, he's gone. Right. And think about how every kid feels. And it just seems to me like there's such extraordinary overreaction today. There needs to be.
That's what college football is, overreaction.
Yeah. Oh, everything. Right? Yeah, it's insane. Every week, it's just insane.
It's, let's play the season out.
Yeah.
Okay, the whole rhetoric now is who's going to get fired next week. I just don't like that.
And the biggest issue with it is what comes up with, which we've brought up here on the show about doing something with the semester system. The reason it happens, like in the NFL, it's a lot different because they're not on a timeline when the season's over. When the season's over in college, 2 weeks later is signing date.
Right.
And so if you fire, that's one of the negatives, or the people say, why'd you do it? Well, the timeline is so jacked up because of the recruiting process.
Right.
And so it makes it difficult.
But the problem is, if you bring a successful coach, he's coaching until the end of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
So, he can't do anything about it. So, I guess you could say it worked for UCLA, and I don't think it's working very well in other places. So, I think you need to think about the kids. I think what I feel bad for the kids today is that nobody's talking about it. You know, when you recruit classes, and Bill, I think you'd agree, right? You miss on half the kids. Half the kids that are great high school players can't play at the college level.
If you sign 25 and you hit on 13, you killed it.
You
500.
So, and you hope for a couple great ones in there.
500 is great.
Last time I checked, college education, getting that opportunity is a big deal. Well, those 12, the half that don't make it, then they think they should play. Now they enter the portal, and nobody's talking about all the kids that don't get picked up anywhere.
Yep.
And it's a tragedy because then these kids get no education, and they could be playing, they could be somewhere, but they could be staying at the school. Nobody left Nebraska, and we're great friends. Whether you 50 years later, whether you played, nobody remembers who the hell played. We were teammates. We had each other's back, and we're Huskers for life. I feel really bad. A lot of kids aren't getting that experience.
Wow. Yeah, it is. That's a good point. And the experience is like you said, that was, I always said in a locker room that if you're tough as hell and you play really hard, you're in. And you knew who in your locker room, who the imposters were. You knew who they were. There was imposters that didn't do that. But never said once about talent.
No.
If you see a guy that you played with back in the 70s and you're talking to one of your, whoever, a grandchild or whatever, you just say, see that guy? Tough as hell. And then, did he play much? I don't even know if he even played, but I'm just telling you,
tough,
I didn't.
Tough as
hell. So he gets to carry that badge forever.
And gave it everything he had every day.
And so he's looked at when you see, if there's a reunion, and he walks in the door, you can't wait to see him.
Because
you're going like, that was a dude.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, you know exactly who they are, the ones that don't do that.
It's probably the coolest thing that all of us, number one, that we got to play for Coach Osborne. He transformed our lives. The guy's just extraordinary human being still today, all that he does for all of us. But yet, we're Huskers. We're Huskers for life. I mean, I remember one guy transferring. I remember one guy transferring in. That's all,
That's it.
That's it. Vince Ferragamo transferred here. And then Keith Bishop went home to Baylor. That's all I remember.
It's good to have Vince here. Wonder what Keith's doing.
I mean, just think of that. Just really, really incredible. So, and then we'd have a couple junior college guys come once in a while. But the point is, we guys get together, haven't seen anybody, seen each other. Billy Todd was back 2 weeks ago. I hadn't seen Billy.
Left-hander, wasn't he?
No, Billy Todd was a kicker.
Oh, the kicker.
Square-toed kicker.
He threw left-handed.
No, I take it back. You know why? Because Billy Todd was a left-hander for Wesleyan.
Okay.
He was.
Oh.
And, hadn't seen Billy in 40 years. It was like we'd just been to, so it's
square
just
toe.
Really, really cool kicker. Stuff. Tommy Sorley, George Andrews, and Stunning Dunning were back. And, it's just...
Tom Sorley.
His dad worked in the video office forever. Yeah. Floyd. Floyd Sorley would be the one if he had to get.
I did not know that.
Floyd Sorley worked in the office up there, yes. And Floyd would get all of our VHS tapes for us. He worked in the office at the video department.
He ran the camera for a lot of years.
Ran a camera, oh yeah.
When he got old enough, it was too hard to get up there in the keyhole.
No, Floyd worked until he's probably 90 in the office. Yeah, in the office.
Enjoyed what he did.
Yeah, he always go down there. And sometimes you go down there and you have Floyd to be asleep. But he was working until he was 90.
Texas.
Midland, Texas. Yeah.
How much more fun was it to watch those kickers square toe? How awesome was that?
Well, it went straight all the time.
Oh, it was. Sometimes they hit the ball into the end zone, into the stands. Yeah, it was awesome. Well, better times.
We gotta get to break. Are you sticking around? Or you got to roll, Governor?
No, I'm good.
Okay, all right, we'll have some more then. All right, when we come back,
I have some questions.
More with Governor Pillen here on Early Break in the Ticket.
Anybody need a coffee?